The New Testament reading is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we come now to study your word, may we have open ears and hearts to hear what you have to say to each one of us. May we be encouraged and challenged that we can belong to you. Amen. You might want to have your Bibles in front of you, the Ephesians passage. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, but we are going to look a little bit before those verses as well. As Harry was saying a few minutes ago, that desire to belong is in all of us. At school, did you ever feel that you wanted to be part of a particular group or circle of friends? Did you ever look enviously across the playground at those what you thought of as the cool kids, the ones who seemed to be particularly popular, and wonder if you could ever be part of that group? What would you have to do to belong? How strong was that desire to belong, to be part of the group, and not be the outsider? Perhaps you even feel it today. Maybe you don't feel part of a particular group at work, or even at church. You feel excluded from some groups and wonder how you can belong. Do we spend time in our everyday lives desperately trying to belong? Our desire to belong can lead us to feel lonely, isolated, even worthless. Well, this morning we're going to look at how we can belong to God's family and how the entry criteria is something we can all meet. We'll also see how our desire to belong can lead us into conflict and exclusion. We tend to find things in common with others in order to belong to a particular group. But in doing so, that can lead to the exclusion of those who don't meet the criteria. It can even lead to conflicts with other groups. But we will see that with Jesus in our lives, we are called to come together in unity. And as we look at this reading, notice it starts with the word, therefore. And this links our reading with the passage at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2. These first few verses of that chapter are often taken as a standalone outline of the gospel, which of course they are. So we're just going to have a quick look at those verses 1 to 10. It says in there, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." And it goes on. "But because of this, his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is by grace we have been saved. Even though we have sinned, even though we are sinners, we have been made alive with Christ." And it's this simple message that we need to keep in our minds as we explore our reading today. Verses 11 to 22, look at how there were two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, who were exclusive and in conflict with one another. The Gentiles could not join the Jews. The Jews had particular signs and laws that excluded others, and the two groups were hostile with each other. Sounds a lovely place, doesn't it? But we shall see how Paul explains how the two groups were reconciled, and consequently what that means for us today. Because at the heart of this passage is the cross. And what we will see is that because of the cross, we can all belong to God's family. Paul is writing this letter to the mainly Gentile Christians in Ephesus. And in true Paul style, he holds nothing back, starting off reminding them of what they were before Jesus. He explains how we are all excluded from God. And in verses 11 and 12, he makes it very clear how the Gentiles in Ephesus were outsiders. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. The Gentiles were the uncircumcised, a physical difference between them and the Jews, the Old Testament people of God. They were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel. In the Old Testament, only certain people could be with God, and it didn't include the Gentiles. They were foreigners. They were without God and without hope." Paul uses the word atheos, from which we get the word atheist. Now today, atheist simply means someone who doesn't believe in God. But atheist literally means without God. Now the Gentiles would have believed in God, and some believed in many gods. But Paul was declaring that they were without the covenant relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had no part of that covenant, those promises made by God with Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and other Old Testament prophets. They were outsiders and didn't belong. "You were atheists," says Paul, "without God, excluded from coming in, from becoming part of God's family." It's all a bit gloom and doom, isn't it? Now, as a civil servant, you're sometimes required to go over to the Houses of Parliament to support a minister during a debate in the House. You sit in the official's box at the edge of the chamber, and from there you can send notes and answers to questions to your minister at the dispatch box. There are rules and eligibility criteria for being in the box. Your name must be on the list that the House doorkeepers have. You must have the correct pass. And if you're a man, you must be wearing a jacket and tie. I remember on one occasion waiting in the corridor to go into the box, and some officials from another department arrived, one of whom was not allowed in because he didn't meet the eligibility criteria. He had no jacket and tie. It didn't matter that he was the key person who knew about the topic that was about to be debated, or that the minister was expecting him to be there. No jacket and tie, no entry. rules to be obeyed in order to belong, in order to get in. And if you didn't obey, then you couldn't go in. And so it was with the Old Testament rules and laws. The Jews had to obey them in order to be part of God's people. Otherwise, you couldn't belong. But Jesus changed all that. He changed it for everyone, Jew and Gentile 2,000 years ago, and for you and me today in the 21st century. In verse 13, Paul makes this clear. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul is making it clear that we are all reconciled to God through the cross. We have been brought near to God because of Jesus' blood, because Jesus died for each one of us. If we remember the message of the first part of this chapter, we are all offered salvation through the cross by faith, so that we are all in Christ. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Jesus' willingness and obedience in dying on the cross for us has removed the entry criteria for belonging with God. We are saved by God's gracious mercy and love. Paul goes on to explain how this works out in the biggest division of all between Jew and Gentile. He uses the context of the time to help his readers understand what the cross means for them. So whilst it might feel a slightly odd example for us today, it would have made the point really easy for the Ephesians to understand. Paul wants to make it clear that even the biggest divisions can be reconciled through the blood of Christ. Jews were the Old Testament people of God, the people who built the temples and who obeyed God's laws. The Gentiles were the ones without God. So Paul tells them that no matter how far they were from God, because of Jesus' blood, they have been brought near. But what did this mean in practical terms for these new Christians? Paul talks about Jesus destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility in verse 14. And this is a direct reference to the wall in the temple, a low dividing wall that no Gentile was allowed to pass. In fact, Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison, having been arrested for allegedly crossing the wall with a Gentile. So something he'd had first-hand experience of. Jesus destroyed the wall by abolishing his flesh. In other words, by dying on the cross for our sins. The barrier to God was removed. Now this image of the wall being destroyed reminded me of the moment of Jesus' death on the cross when the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Until then, only priests had been allowed to meet God, and only once a year in the Holy of Holies, which was behind the curtain. Jesus' death put an end to that. The curtain was no longer needed, and this dividing wall was no longer needed. Through Jesus' death, we are all now in direct relationship with him. Verse 16 says, in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Jews and Gentiles were no longer enemies, but reconciled together to God. Jesus came to abolish the Old Testament laws and regulations that separated Jew and Gentile. They're no longer needed. We can all belong. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Jesus is for everyone. And to make it really clear to the Gentiles what Paul was saying in verse 19, he echoes verse 12, but as opposites. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Gentiles could now belong with God, just as Jews could belong with God, just as you and I can belong with God. What's more wonderful is that we're not only reconciled to God through Jesus, but as Christians, we are bound together in a common purpose to build God's temple, to be God's temple. Isn't that exciting and challenging? Our divisions are torn down and we come together to be the church, to be followers of Christ together. verses 21 to 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are being built together as a holy people to worship and glorify, to support and witness to others the glory of God. And we can do this because our faith is built on solid foundations. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Think about it. Our faith is laid on solid foundations. The early Christians who knew Jesus went out and preached the good news, laid those foundations over 2,000 years ago. And we have those foundations set out in the Bible. The Old Testament pointing the way to Jesus' coming, and the New Testament telling us of Jesus and the early church. That's what shapes us as Christians. Now, I looked up the definition of cornerstone, and there are four. The first is a stone at the corner of a building uniting two intersecting walls. It's also a stone representing the nominal starting place in the construction of a monumental building, usually carved with a date. Thirdly, it is something that's essential. And fourthly, the foundation on which something is constructed or developed. Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus connects the Old and New Testament, the Old pointing to his coming and the New starting with his birth. Jesus is the starting place of when we became a Christian, when we accepted him as our Lord and Saviour. If we start somewhere else, our faith will be unstable and unsure, not likely to survive. So knowing Jesus is essential to our faith, and he is the foundation of our lives. It is through knowing him we are constructed and developed. It is through knowing him and wanting to be more like him that we are shaped into be the people we are today. I love how a familiar passage can suddenly make you see things in a different way. I hadn't really thought of the significance of using the word cornerstone in describing Jesus before. So what? What does this mean for us today? Well, it's this foundation that shapes the church. It's those foundations that shape us as Christians. Do we build our lives on those foundations? How far do we live this out in our everyday lives? Are we open about belonging? Open about being a Christian? Do our lives reflect those foundations that our faith is built on? All challenging questions for us to think about. Paul talks about being the building, the temple. We're not meant to be Christians in isolation. We need to come together to worship and to serve. And look at the language Paul uses. In him, you two are being built together. It's not in the past tense. It's as relevant to us today as to Ephesians all those years ago. Coming together as Christians is important. Worshipping together, being in home groups, studying the Bible and praying together all build on those foundations and help us grow in our faith. If you're a Christian, you're already part of that building. We come together as Christians to worship God, to become that holy temple, just as we are as individuals dwelling places for God's Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful image, everyone reconciled together through Jesus. And today he is there for us all. There are no entry requirements. We don't need a shirt and tie to get in or to be one of the cool kids. We are all welcome because we are all sinners under God's judgment, knowing that Jesus' salvation is for all. Being a sinner is the only entry requirement. How wonderful is that? All we have to do is acknowledge we have sinned and come before God and say sorry. And something we can keep doing each time we mess up. God's grace, love and mercy is always there. And because of that, we have been saved. No matter how wretched or useless we may feel, we belong to God. We belong with God. The only barrier to us belonging is ourselves. If we choose not to belong, if we choose not to accept Jesus as Lord, So if you're sat there feeling like you don't belong, maybe think about why that may be. Talk to someone. Ask them to pray with you. Say sorry to God for the things you've done wrong that may be weighing you down and stopping you belonging. We are a family together, built together to worship and serve God and to encourage and support each other in fellowship. That is something we need to keep doing as a family, built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And knowing that should encourage us to live our lives showing that we belong to God, sharing our faith, living out our faith in loving service to others, coming together to worship, to serve, to study the Bible, and to pray together. If you're not yet a Christian, don't feel that you're excluded from belonging. You simply have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Recognise that he died on the cross for you, for your sins, so that you may live and have eternal life. Our desire to belong is easily met because of the cross. No matter how far we feel we are from God, it is a simple truth that we have to believe, that Jesus died for me, a sinner, so that I can be reconciled with him. And in accepting and knowing that, I want to be with fellow Christians, worshipping God together. Let us pray. Merciful God, thank you that we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with your people and also members of your household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Thank you for the cross that tore down the divisions and reconciled us to you. Help us to belong. May we come to you knowing we are sinners, but also knowing that through your mercy and grace, we have been saved. Amen.